And I also want to thank, I kicked myself there as I was sitting on the front pew. How could I forget Brother Chris back there when I was making mention of people that God sent to help out the ministry? All of you, really. You can't sit still in this church. There's so few of us. We've got everybody doing something. But Chris, thank you for all you do. I in no wise meant to slight you. That's why I get worried about naming names. You sit down, you always forget somebody who deserves to be mentioned. And I can really name everybody in the church. But in any event, if you have your Bibles, would you turn with me this morning to the book of Ezekiel? Ezekiel chapter 9. And I want to begin reading at verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 1. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry, for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said, in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city, and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they that began at the ancient men which were before the house. And he said unto them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go ye forth. And they went forth and slew in the city. And it came to pass while they were slaying them and I was left that I fell upon my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in the pouring out of thy fury upon Jerusalem? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great, and the land is full of blood, and the city is full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. And behold, the man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. And I want to preach for a few moments this morning on the subject of the mark of grace. Could we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, I sense a reverence this morning. I sense this morning a sobering presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we so need that in this hour. Lord, if we are to keep our faith intact in this last day, we must know and be taught by you that our faith in Jesus and Jesus alone is enough to see us through whatever this world is going to go through. Lord Jesus, this morning I pray that you will again open our spiritual eyes to see the sobering state that this world is in. I pray that one more time you'll open our eyes this morning in a sobering way to see the state that your house is in. And Lord, I pray that you'll encourage us with the fact that to those who are willing to not compromise your way, your word, and your truth, and who Jesus is and what he has done, you will set your glorious mark upon them, and you will see them through whatever is going on in this world. Lord, we thank you now for your promise. We thank you now for the surety of your delivering power. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. During the 1920s, in the early portion of the 1920s, the nation of Germany had an economic collapse that was really unprecedented in their history. It really paralleled the Great Depression that not many days America would be facing in the late 1920s. From 1928 to 1932, over 6 million jobs were lost in Germany. Almost no one could find a job. Food was very scarce. People literally starving to death, as we see in third world countries today. And it was during this time that a demonic despot rose up by the name of Adolf Hitler. And he began to promise the German people that he would pull them out of this depression. It's little known about Hitler that he had an occultic background. Hitler himself, if you study history, you'll find that he was in fact deceived by demon spirits. There was a gentleman by the name of Eckhart, who was a well-known Satanist in Germany. And his prayer to Satan himself had always been, "Let me see the Antichrist, and let me have a hand in raising him up." He thought that Hitler was the Antichrist and even told Adolf Hitler, "You are the Antichrist." Hitler believed this. He was not the Antichrist, but he was deceived by demon spirits into thinking that he was, and that he would be the one that would destroy not only the Jews, but Christianity. He had an equal hatred for Christianity, the same as he did the Jews. And that he would establish world domination. And he almost achieved his goal. To hear Hitler speak, they say, and if you watch some of the old news reels, it's clearly evident to the child of God that he spoke under a demonic anointing, holding his audiences mesmerized with the sheer force of his oratory. And Germany believed him. And the untold billions of people who had their lives ruined and wrecked, raped and pillaged, family members murdered because of this demonic despot. But he made great promises to Germany, and for a time, he delivered on those promises. For a time, everything he promised came to pass. That's what made him look so powerful and so brilliant. But he himself was deceived and ultimately wound up committing suicide in the shambled bunkers of Berlin. I tell you that because I want you to know this. Demon powers are very much behind the raising up and the putting down of world leadership. It is ultimately in the hand of God. It is ultimately God who sets leaders up and sets them down. But God, to work His plan, will at times allow a certain latitude for demon spirits to move. And I believe that for the last 30 or 40 years or so, the United States of America has shook its fist in the face of Almighty God one too many times. I'm not trying to deliver a political message this morning, but I want to tell you this. John McCain can't change things. Barack Obama can't change a thing. I don't care what promises they make you and how they beat their political chests and tell you, "I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that." They can do nothing. The problems that are facing the United States of America right now are spiritual in nature and not political. And due to America's turning against the God that raised her up, I don't believe that we're going to see the situation that we find ourselves in turn around. I believe America, and I believe I've heard from the Lord on this, and I believe the Holy Spirit told me, I'm going to prepare my church. Those who really have their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I'll prepare, and I'll see them through this, but there will be no relenting this time on my fury against the United States of America. Just look over the past few years, the hurricanes that have ripped our nation apart, the physical disasters that have taken place. And now, seemingly overnight, our entire economy has been brought to a grinding halt. And Congress's answer and the politicians' answer is to throw money at it. That's not going to solve it. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a gaping wound. This is God's judgment against the United States of America, is what I'm telling you. It's been preached for years that by those who I believe have been in tune with God, that His judgment would ultimately fall on this nation one day for how it's been treating Him, His Word, and His Son, Jesus Christ. We were raised up because of our faith in Jesus Christ. This nation was birthed and predicated upon faith in Jesus Christ. And what Hitler did during this time that helped him gain sway over the masses was he began meeting with the Catholic leaders and the leaders of the Lutheran Church in Germany, which at that time was a strong, sound evangelical force. Not the watered-down Lutheran churches, by and large, you see today. And Hitler persuaded the Catholic clergy and the Lutheran clergy that what was needed to pull Germany out of the economic morass that she had sank into was a positive Christianity. And the clergy believed him. As you study history, you'll find in every instance, the only force that has stood against evil dominating this world is a small band of people who would believe Almighty God. And God will raise up. God loves people. Paul alluded to it. God loves people. And God will do all that He can to get His message out, to pull erring man back from his evil ways. But God is also a God of judgment. He told us in the book of Genesis, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." There has been no empire in world history that has lasted longer than about 300 years. No empire in history. And I fear the American ego, due to the great blessings that we have experienced, has begun to think it can never happen to us. It's happening before our very eyes right now because we've turned our back on Almighty God. This nation has. That's why there's no hope in a politician. Yes, go vote, but don't put your hope and faith in a politician. They can do nothing to help you out. And they can pound their chests and come up with their political platitudes all day long and brag about what they're going to do. They're not going to do nothing. They'd better humble themselves before Almighty God and admit we don't have an answer. The answer for this nation is to turn back to Jesus Christ. That's the only answer for America. And until America does that, there's going to be no hope for her. But Hitler persuaded the German clergy to assist him and formulating his Nazi regime. And they so fell under his demonic sway that they believed it was okay to stop preaching about the cross of Christ because it offended people. I'm here to tell you, Rick Warren wasn't the first one to come up with the purpose-driven life. It was perpetrated billions of years ago in the bowels of hell itself by Satan himself. And it was the same message that so many churches in the United States of America are gone chasing after today. And God's judgment is going to fall. I wish I could stand here and tell you that it's going to be easy. It's probably not going to be, if I believe I've heard from the Lord correctly. But in my prayer this week, as I was seeking His face, and I was doing this actually on Wednesday night as I was praying for the church here at home. I was just so, felt good to just lay there and spend some time with the Lord. It's exactly what I needed. I began to pray and ask Him, Lord, are You going to protect Your children? How much will we have to face because of the fallout of this? And He took me to the ninth chapter of Ezekiel. And He began to show me in this ninth chapter of Ezekiel how when Jerusalem had done and the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah had done the very same things that the United States of America is doing, and after God extending His grace in dealing with them for a protracted period of time, He finally sent forth His judgment. That's what we're seeing in chapter 9. And He said, I will not relent this time. That's what He told Israel. There will be no turning away of My judgment any longer. It's going to fall. But first, we get a glimpse into the spirit world of a man clothed in white linen with an inkhorn by his side. This is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. An inkhorn was the writing instrument that they used in Hebrew times of this day. And it's telling us that He alone is the one who has the power to write down names in the Lamb's Book of Life. He alone has the authority to save and to deliver. And God gave Him the command before the judgment was to fall on Jerusalem. He said, you go through the city and you put a mark on everybody who's been crying out for righteousness. In other words, there were that some few still living before in Jerusalem, before God's judgment was going to fall, that were trying their best. Although they weren't being listened to, although their pleas for repentance were ignored. They loved God. And they wanted to follow God. And God commanded the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of the host of heaven, the high general of heaven's armies. He said, before My judgment falls, you go through and you put a mark on every one of them. There was a Hebrew practice in that day that was called the ashen forehead. And it was symbolic of sealing a person to save them as a part of your family. It was kind of an adoption process, if you will. And they would take ashes, and they would make a mark on that person's forehead. And the mark was one slash down and one slash over. The cross. They would mark that individual's forehead, and that individual would be considered adopted then by that family and protected by that family. And when God told Jesus Christ, you go through the city and you put a mark upon every one of the foreheads of the people that are crying out for righteousness, that are crying out for holiness, because I'm going to protect them through the midst of this judgment. Child of God, what the Holy Spirit wants us to know this morning, that in this tumultuous crisis that we're facing in the United States of America and around the world, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, you've got God's mark on you. Hallelujah. And I'm not sitting here telling you that everything's going to be totally peaceful and totally without event in your life. But I'm telling you this, He's going to keep you. He's going to keep you. No, we may not live in the same lifestyle we've become accustomed to. But Paul, I loved what you said this morning about those faith teachers. You know, I want to see how they respond when all they've got left is a roof over their heads and maybe a few clothes to wear and wondering where their next meal is going to come from, but yet God keeps providing it. That's faith, my brothers and sisters. That's faith, and it may very well be that we in the church of Jesus Christ, those who truly have our faith in Jesus, are going to have to live under circumstances like that. But He's enough. That's what He wants His church to know. That's what He wants His church to know. I'm enough. I'm enough. I'm enough to see you through anything. And I have placed my mark upon you. And when my judgment falls, give the Lord a hand of praise. When my judgment falls, it will not be averted. It will not be turned around. But I will preserve my people and I will deliver my people. I believe the Holy Spirit's trying to prepare us for a lifestyle change this morning, believers. America's changing. America's going to keep changing in every realm. I believe we're seeing the beginning of the end of America as a world power. In the next coming days, you're going to see a cry for equality among all nations, where all nations should be brought into balance economically, socially, and in every realm. That's going to be part of the new world order that President Bush began calling for in the 80s. It's a kind of global socialism where everybody has everything equal and there are no world powers. And everything is decided at a central place like the United Nations. And I've always believed that America is silent in biblical prophecy. And that's always somewhat stymied me because we traditionally have always helped Israel out. And as I've read and studied end time events, and we see no mention of America coming to Israel's aid, I've always thought and believed it's because we would be too weak to do so. And I believe we're seeing the beginning of the end of America as a world power right now. But for the church, to those who really have their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, now is not the time to fear. But the Holy Spirit, I believe, is explicitly wanting one message put across to us. And it is that Jesus has to be enough for us. We may be in for some lifestyle changes and things we're accustomed to in this country. But God is trying our faith. And He's not trying us to prove to us that we'll fail. I believe He's trying to raise up a body of believers in this last day and age that He can hold up before the world and say to the world, they were satisfied with me alone. Therefore, I was able to preserve them through this dark time. That's how they withstood. That's how they bore the heavy burdens. When other men's minds are cracking and other people are falling apart, this people will be held together because of their faith in Jesus Christ, because of His glorious mark that is upon them. I know this ain't no shouting service, but I think you sense the soberness that the Holy Spirit is putting this across with this morning. We're headed for change. America's going to get what she's crying for. Change is coming. But it's not the kind of change that I believe they're hoping to get. It's going to be a change like Germany cried for when Adolf Hitler came to power. But God is going to have a people. And He's going to mark those people that have their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The man who has the linen clothes on and the ink on at his side is still alive. I've never seen a time in my life like we're living in right now. I mean, where there seems to be no loyalty in people anymore. There seems to be no care for what God thinks of about anymore. And I believe the Holy Spirit this morning is shaping this church and others like it. We're not the only ones. But He's shaping them to first be satisfied with Jesus Christ. And to secondly, develop a view of world events from the perspective of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When Jesus said, He shall take of mine and show it unto you, that means the Holy Spirit is God's revelatory agent. He is the one that will show God's people what's coming. He is the one who will show God's people how to withstand what's coming. He's the one who will empower God's people to make it through what's coming. And I believe with all of my heart that God, the Holy Ghost, is shaping this church to be a jewel of His. To be a place where when people come, they don't find a lot of pomp and circumstance, but they'll find the power of God. They'll find the truth of this gospel. They'll find there's a way, hey, I can get a mark on me too. Amen? I preached this last weekend to my brother-in-law Roger's church. And a lady come up to me after service. And you all know me. I'm an evangelist at heart anyway. And I believe that God's given me a special gift in evangelism. As I preached that night, I'd addressed specifically some errors that are going on in the church and how the church has turned the worship service into a plaything, really, by and large. That it's not all about Jesus, it's just about getting a crowd and getting people to like your particular church. Pleasing God is not even on the mind of most pastors and churches anymore. And she came up to me with tears in her eyes and she said, I'm so glad that God sent me to a church like this. She said, I came out of the Nazarene church. She said, at one time, the Spirit of God moved her. This is a Nazarene lady now in this church. But she said, we started getting into having all of these special Sundays where we did something other than the gospel. She said, it started off at one Sunday a month. And then it went to two. And then 3 Sundays out of the month, we were having a special day doing something that was totally unrelated to the gospel. And she said, my last 3 weeks there, if I can recount it correctly, she said, my last 3 weeks before I made up my mind to leave that church, she said, you know what the services were about? She said, we had a biker Sunday where they talked about motorcycles. She said, we had an art Sunday where everybody brought in their art, painted pictures or whatever to sell it. And then she said, I made up my mind to leave, and many of you may not know what I'm referring to here. There's this Heise Glass Company in Newark, Ohio, which is renowned around the world, this type of glass is, if you're an aficionado of this type of glass. And she said, my last Sunday there, they had a Heise Glass seminar. And she said, none of it to do with the gospel. She said, I had to get out of it. She said, I had to leave it. And she said, I found this little church here. And she said, I heard your brother-in-law preaching about the cross. And she said, that's what we've been missing. And she's a stalwart in that church. Now, there's people out there that are hungry for God. And God's going to raise up churches so that people like that will have a place. When they see that the pomp and circumstance and the junk that many churches are into nowadays is not the gospel and it's not feeding their soul, God is going to make sure there are places for people like that to come to. And I want to be one of those places like that. I'm not much interested in Heise Glass or having a biker Sunday. When we come together, I want to uphold Jesus Christ. Because He's what's going to take us through. Hallelujah. A biker Sunday ain't going to help nobody get through the mess that's coming upon this nation. And the church thinks it's cutesy to come up with these marketing ideas to get people to come. And pastors put on leathers and ride motorcycles to show how cool they are. Now, I'm not opposed to somebody. Don't misunderstand me. Don't go running back somewhere and say, oh, pastor's against owning a motorcycle and wearing. No, if you own a motorcycle, you ought to wear leather on it. It's safe. Lauren Larson has a motorcycle. Rides it to his meetings. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's wrong when you bring that motorcycle to church on Sunday morning and make it the object of your worship service. Jesus Christ should be the object of the worship service. Jesus Christ should be magnified when the church comes together. Ride your bike 6 days a week and wear the wheels off of it if you want to. But the Lord said, and it still holds, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. That means that one day a week is reserved for the worship of me. One day a week is dedicated to lift up my name and to focus your attention on me, not on what you want to do. And God is raising up churches that are going, the Holy Spirit's going to give them a world view from the perspective of Almighty God. And their concern is not going to be, does the world like what we're doing? Does the community think we're attractive? No, they're going to be concerned. What does God think about us? What does God think about what we're preaching? What does God think about what we're singing? And that's the kind of church I know that Almighty God is raising up here. That's why all hell is coming against you. That's why when you made up your mind to attend this church, Satan sees the mark also that's on you. And it's a reminder of him that that one there is real. That one there has its faith in Jesus Christ. Therefore, I've got to launch an attack on them that will try to break their faith, that will try to destroy them and dissuade them from living for Jesus. And some of you, I dare say just about everybody in this church, I've never seen nothing like it. The way families have come under attack. But know why you're under attack. You got his mark on you. You got his mark on you. And greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Your deliverance is assured this morning. Your deliverance isn't coming. I said it's assured. You say, how can you boldly say that, Pastor? Let me tell you something. If God so chooses, he may put enough on you that it'll kill you. Oh, now come on, shout with me on that one. You got quiet on me there. God may allow some event. He may allow you to be martyred for his sake. But if he does, guess what? The next conscious thought you have, you'll be standing by the one who has the inkhorn at his side. Hallelujah. You'll be standing by the Lord of glory, and you will be delivered. You will be delivered. You will be delivered. Hallelujah. And it may well come to that in this last day and age for living out your faith in Jesus Christ. I'm just praying, God, I don't have it in me, but I know your Spirit can give it to me. As I trust exclusively in Jesus Christ, keep my faith where it needs to be. Through every dark trial that you control, Lord, you're in control of it. Keep reminding me, Jesus is really all I need. We sing that song, he's all I need. He's all I need. It's a beautiful song. But it's just a song to us until we go through the dark hour. How will we ever know he's enough if he doesn't allow us to go through the dark hour? It's there he proves to us, I'm able, and your faith in me alone is enough to hold you through whatever is going on in this world. I know this ain't a shouting thing, but God's doing some deep things this morning, I believe. God forbid, but what if he would call us to starve to death for him? You know, as I was talking with my brother-in-law, God's really, really moving in that little church, just like he is in this one. It was a joy and privilege to preach there. And he's all excited about it. He hadn't been in the pastorate that long. And he calls me sometimes, and I do my best to help him with what little bit of wisdom I have. And wisdom's always born of pain, and I'm trying to help him avert some of the junk I've had to go through. He was all excited, and he said, yeah, you know about the revival. I mean, we had people saved. I mean, that came running to the altar. And I'm not talking about flakes, okay? Now, can I just be honest with you for just a minute? Let's be real. We know sometimes in church services there are certain people, maybe they got some mental problems or something, or they just on an emotional high, and they'll come flying to an altar and put on the big show, and you never see him again. Okay? I've learned not to get too excited over that. I praise God, but only God knows if they were truly born again. And if they were truly born again, they'll come back. We can't save anybody, church. Our job is to preach the right message and then leave it up to the Lord. But we saw during this revival, people come running to that altar and set free from alcohol. And that are back in church that called Roger all week long asking him, how do I do this? What do I do? I mean, they were truly born again by the Spirit of God and delivered from alcohol. And he was naturally all excited about that. And he said, oh, you know, in Acts, when Peter preached the message of the cross, it put 3,000 people in the church. And I said, Rog, I said, I share your exuberance and I praise God with you for what he's doing. But I said, well, you must never forget. In Acts chapter 7, the same message, you got Stephen stoned. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. You read the two messages, the one Peter preached in Acts 2 and the one Stephen preached in Acts 7. They were the exact same message. The results are up to God. That's what I wanted to say. I said, Raj, let's just preach the truth. Let's just preach the truth and leave it up to God and let him take care of the results. Only he can bring forth the fruit. Isn't that liberating? That so liberated me as a preacher, because for years I thought it had to be through the force of my oratory and through the brilliance of my sermon construction. And I've learned that no, it's all in him. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. That's why he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. In your darkest hour of your life tonight, or this morning, I want you to know, and the Holy Ghost wants you to know, Jesus Christ is enough. His mark is on you, and your relationship to him is enough to carry you through anything at all. Anything. If he calls you to starve for him, if he calls you to be stoned for him, if he calls you to suffer in any capacity for this glorious gospel, it's worth it all, because his mark is on you, and he'll see you through it, and he will ultimately deliver you from it. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. I want to close a little different than I normally do. I want you to turn to Revelation 22. And I want you to stand with me for the reading of God's holy word. Revelation chapter 22. Beginning at verse 1. Here is the fruit of the glorious promise of your deliverance, child of God. His mark is on you. Don't let the darkness of this world, don't let the evil of this world dissuade you from knowing that Jesus is enough. If you sit in a pile of ashes with all of your worldly goods gone and you still have Jesus, you've got enough to make it through. Hallelujah. Praise God. Revelation 22, beginning at verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And look at verse 3. Here is the promise and the fruit of your deliverance. Here is the absolute guaranteed manifestation. Those of you who have God's mark on your life, and it is there if your faith is in Christ and him crucified. Here is the undying, unyielding promise of Almighty God to you. And there shall be no more curse. This world is under a curse of Almighty God right now. It incurred this curse in the Garden of Eden when mankind fell. And it's been under a curse ever since. But in that day when we're in the portals of glory with Jesus Christ, and we will have ruled and reigned with him for 1,000 years, and he recreates a new heaven and a new earth, you'll be a part of this. The Bible tells you there will be no more curse. Hallelujah. And then there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Look at verse 4. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. That mark of grace that's on you, child of God. And that's what it is. It's the same mark that Jesus went through Jerusalem and put on the heads of the righteous people there. That mark of grace is on you this morning if your faith rests exclusively in Jesus Christ. And no matter if we lose all we have in this life, there's another one coming that's going to last forever. That is what the Holy Ghost wants us to focus on. That is how we are to live in these last days with this world gone mad and falling apart at the very seams. We are to focus on the deliverance that God has promised in Jesus Christ through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. You can rejoice this morning. It don't matter who's president. It don't matter who sits on what potentate or throne. It matters who sits on the throne. Jesus Christ is on the throne of God. And the Bible says that's where the living water issued forth from, was from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And there shall be no more curse. And we'll live eternally with Jesus Christ, with his name on our foreheads. The mark of grace that's on you this morning is an eternal mark. Satan can take everything this world can give away, but he cannot take away the mark of grace that has been given by Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that's how the Holy Ghost wants us to live in this last days, these last minutes in the history of planet Earth. And I dare say that only those who have their faith in Christ due to the persecution and the tumult that's coming upon not only the United States of America, but the entirety of this planet, only those are going to be able to keep a sound mind due to the horrific conditions that are going to prevail. When Jesus, and I'm going to let you go after this, in Matthew 24, the disciples had asked him, Lord, what's going to be the sign of your coming, and what's going to be the sign of the end of this age? In Luke 21 and Matthew 24, Jesus expounds greatly in answering their question. But he said that families were going to turn against one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ would betray one another. He said food would be hard to come by. I'm paraphrasing most of it. You can go home, read it later for yourself. But then he said, this is the beginning of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows. When we read about how horrible the tribulation period is going to be, we're going to get a real taste of it before the rapture comes, which could happen at any second. It's already bad, but the longer God lets it go on, it's going to do nothing but get worse. I heard one of the pillow prophets of TBN the other night. Get mad at me if you want to. His name is Kim Clement. He's a total false prophet and a liar, and it has a satanic anointing on him. He said that the United States of America was headed for the greatest days of prosperity it had ever known. And I was glad. I know the Lord let me see it. I thought it reminded me so much of the false prophets in Old Testament times when they would tell Israel, when she had been living in sin, living in idolatry, and turning her face on God, they would come and tell her, all is well. You're going to be blessed. You're going to have more money. You're going to have more wealth. It's not going to be so. It's not, God is preparing us this morning, church. I know this is sobering, and I know it don't make nobody run aisles, but I tell you what, my goal ain't to run an aisle. I thank God for services like that. I believe in it, that where the joy of the Lord breaks out. But I'm here to tell you, you know, that's sweet, that's cotton candy, but a steady diet of cotton candy will kill you. If that's all you eat, you know. If that's all you eat all the time is cotton candy, you'll die. Every now and then, God's got to give us some broccoli and some steak and some asparagus. And what's that, Deb? Brussels sprouts, yeah. All that stuff that may not be as easy going down, but it'll produce health. And I believe this morning the Holy Spirit's been feeding us some asparagus and some broccoli and some things of that nature. What? Brussels sprouts, yeah. Austin really likes Brussels sprouts. That's a... In any event, you get the picture. He's preparing you, church. His mark is upon you, and it's not going to get better. But you can make it. Jesus is enough. That's what he wants you to know this morning. If you got nothing else out of this, I pray you got that. Jesus Christ is really enough. In your darkest hour when you've lost everything, as long as he's with you and as long as his mark of grace is on you, you're going to be delivered. You read it in his word this morning. Just a little while longer, hallelujah, and we'll be with him. Hold on, child of God. Hold on, hold on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Musicians, would you come? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, we come to you. And Lord, I believe with all of my heart you have spoken to me, Lord. And I would never, Lord, you know my heart. I love your people. I would never want to steer them in a wrong direction. But I believe you've shown me that America is crumbling and it's going to get worse. And the lifestyles that we've been used to living and that we've become accustomed to, for many of us, by and large, they're going to fade away in the coming years. And we're going to have to live at a level that's far below maybe what we've been used to living, but you'll still be providing everything we need. I said everything we need, not everything we want. And Lord, may you begin now the work in our hearts to wean us from materialism, to wean us from trusting in anything other than you, Lord Jesus. And Lord, that's going to be a painful process, but I believe in your love and grace and mercy. To those who really love you, you're sending forth your messengers to prepare your people for what's coming. And Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus for the Holy Spirit of God. First, we praise you, Jesus, that your mark of grace is upon us. Our faith is in what you did for us at the cross. But Lord, begin to wean us from so much that we think we have need of, Lord, that we really, really don't need. Lord, if we're not going hungry, if we've got some decent clothes to wear and we've got shelter over our head, in essence, Lord Jesus, that's what you've promised. But Lord, even were we to lose these things, you're still enough, Lord Jesus. And all of your glory and all of your majesty, you're still enough. Because your word cannot fail. And we've read from your undying word, your eternal word this morning, that we will be delivered, those of us who have the mark of your grace upon us. Teach us to focus intently on this. Lord, let us not worry ourselves needlessly about who's going to be in the White House. We should vote. I'm not saying that and take part in that process. But Lord, nobody's going to bring the kind of change America needs. No man is going to bring the kind of change America needs. It's only found in you, Lord Jesus. And sadly, I don't believe there's going to be any leader that's going to take us in that direction politically. But Lord Jesus, if we in the church will stand up and be your church and stand for the righteousness of Jesus Christ and stand for the cross of Christ. Political powers will look askance at us. They will even deride and mock and hate us as they've done throughout the centuries. But Lord, there were some few in Germany who saw through Hitler. Their voices went unheeded. But they called him exactly what he was, and they were preachers, men of God, who tried to raise the banner of Jesus Christ. But Lord, they have their eternal reward today. And Father, may we live for that which is eternal in nature. May we take our eyes off of that which is temporal. And we begin to live as men and women who are not citizens of this world. Give us a worldview, Holy Ghost, from God's perspective. Give us a mind, Holy Spirit of God, to become more concerned with what Jesus thinks about what we're doing than what the world thinks about what we're doing. And then we'll be the people of God. And Lord, we praise you this morning. I give you glory. I thank you that we can trust you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that when everything's falling apart, you're enough. And you're in control of everything that's going on in our lives. And you're enough. I pray as we close service today that everyone will never forget the mark of grace. The mark of grace. How glorious it is that we possess that wonderful, glorious mark of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. With your head still bowed and your eyes still closed, Heather and Jessica, would you all come forward? And anybody else that wants prayer this morning, I want you to come now. I want you to come now. And we are your family. Don't you ever be afraid to come or think you're wearing us out and praying for you. God forbid. God perish that thought. It's an honor and privilege to pray for the saints of God. It's an honor and privilege to pray for the saints of God. My Lord, that's what we need one another for. You're not going to wear nobody out in praying for you. Come every service, anytime you want to interrupt the service for prayer, you come. It's always in order. It's always in order. I'm going to ask my council and their wives, would you all just move forward a little bit here, come closer to, so people can get behind you, everyone. Thank you, Lord. Everybody move up, close as you can get to the altar, if you would, please, so folks can gather in behind you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I feel a deep and rich movement of the Holy Spirit right now. And I believe, I know this morning, He's going to help those of you who've come forward and who I called on. I don't know in what capacity, but He's going to do it. Just believe Him right now and know this, He's enough. Jesus is enough for you. No matter what happens, Jesus is enough. Now let's lay hands on them and start praying for them. Father, in the name of Jesus today, Lord, whatever my sister has need of today, in the name of Jesus, you know the number of hairs on her head, and you're in control of her life. Lord, let her know that you're with her, and that you're going to move upon this situation, and that she is going to see victory and deliverance in the name of Jesus. Drive out all fear this morning, Holy Spirit of God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus this morning, we come to you. And I ask you to pour the oil, the healing balm of the Holy Spirit all over my dear sister, Lord, who's just like a sister to me in the flesh, not only in the Lord. I love Paula like a sister, Lord. And I thank you for the friendship and the counsel that she's provided and been to me and Ravonna over the years. And in the name of Jesus right now, pour the healing balm of Gilead all over her first. And then encourage her to know that her God has taken up her mantle. And He is at work even before she began to cry out to Him. Let her leave this church this morning with the victory of Jesus Christ on her, knowing that her God is aware and He is able. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to lay your hand upon my brother Ned, who's been so special to me and such a blessing to this church. Lord, minister your healing virtue unto him this morning. In whatever way he would need it, Lord Jesus, minister your touch unto him today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come to you this morning. And you who healed the blinded eyes, you who pulled the lame to their feet, you who cleansed the lepers are still able. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, this precious young mother whom you've already given a miracle to in Avery, Lord, she knows you're able and we know you're able. And I'm asking you in the name of Jesus, Lord, to touch her body so that her blood pressure and her sugar levels would be perfectly normal the next time she goes to the doctor. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, tomorrow Jessica is going to have to go through some surgery. And in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the doctors. We thank you for their skill. I simply ask and we believe you that this will be a complete success and she'll have a speedy recovery from it. Touch her and strengthen her and give her peace this morning. I ask in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, lay your hand upon Sharon. Minister to her by the power of your Spirit in whatever way she would need today, Lord. Lord, fill Sharon to overflowing with your joy. Let her know you're enough, Lord Jesus. And all the questions and all the doubts and all the fears, you've already addressed them and answered them. You're enough. Bless Sharon with that knowledge today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Did you want prayer? What's that? Okay. Let's pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning. Yes, Lord, I sense your power falling on this sister now. In the name of Jesus, let normal blood flow go to that knee, for where the blood flows, healing takes place. Lord, let her blood sugar drop supernaturally, Lord. And let that knee regain strength in the name of Jesus. Touch her completely, physically, emotionally, and spiritually this morning, and encourage her, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, I believe Linda's so very, very close to having a desire for her heart met. We're believing you for the salvation of her husband. But Lord, I ask you this morning to minister unto Linda. Lord, pour the balm of Gilead over her bruised and broken spirit. And Lord, throw your arms around her and let Linda see how valuable and how much love you have toward her. Lord, bless Linda this morning. Strengthen her in every way. Let her know that the mark of grace is upon her and that you're enough and that you're going to see her through. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Is there anybody? Teresa, come on up. Thank you, Lord. Shannon, I think Shannon was, you want to come on up? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's all right. You ladies join arms and hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, you said you'd give beauty for ashes in your word. And only you can do it, Lord Jesus. And I know these families, it seemed as if their world has fallen apart, Lord. But you're enough, Lord Jesus. Let them not look at the ruin, but let them look at the promise of God, which says you'll give beauty for ashes. Let them know their deliverance is assured this morning, Lord, as they have the mark of grace upon them and keep their faith and trust in you. And I ask this morning for a divine infusion of supernatural power of Holy Ghost to flow into them. Lord, that will cause them, give them the greatest thing you could give them this morning, Lord, which is not a total eradication of all of their problems. The greatest thing you could give them this morning is a revelation that Jesus Christ is enough and that His promise will not fail. Hallelujah. Bless and keep them, fathers. I know you're going to do. They have the mark of grace on them. And you're going to care for them. You're going to care for them. Hallelujah. Ladies, your victory is as sure as the ground you're standing on this morning. Praise the name of Jesus Christ, who always gives us the victory. And the victory's in Him. By faith and what He did for us at the cross. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Is there anybody I missed this morning? You want a prayer? Quite a number of you down at the altar. Thank you, Lord. Would some of you ladies go back here and stand around Mary and Helen? I want to pray for both of them this morning. I just feel the Lord lead me to pray for both of them. I want some of you ladies to gather around them and lay hands on them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus this morning, let your power fall upon Helen and Mary both. These two dear saints of God, Lord, who love your truth, who love your message, who love you, Lord Jesus, minister unto them this morning. Lord, you know exactly how to strengthen, how to encourage. And I pray that you would do that and furthermore give them the revelation, Lord Jesus, that you're enough and their victory is assured. In the name of Jesus, we ask and pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you feel His wonderful presence all over the sanctuary this morning? Lord Jesus, I thank you for what you're doing in us as individuals and as a body of believers. You're preparing us to live for you in these last days. And you're already starting the process of showing us that you're enough. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Did you want prayer, buddy? Let's pray for his family. Come on up here, buddy. His friend at school had a brain tumor and died the other day. Let's pray for that family. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this morning, and I pray you'll be with little Alex's family, Lord Jesus. Minister your grace unto them, Lord. And I thank you for Austin's sensitivity to come forward and to stand in for them. And Lord, I thank you for this son. I thank you for my whole family, Lord. I thank you for all the kids in this church, Lord. They're special and precious to us. Help us in this last day to instill in them through the preaching of the truth of God's Word an unshakable and unflappable faith in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Church, just worship and adore Him for just a few moments before we're dismissed. I believe with all of my heart this morning the Holy Spirit has begun a deep and abiding work on us as a body and as individuals to prepare us for the last days that we're going to be living here on planet Earth. Lord, help us. Lord, we look to none other. There is no strength, there is no help, there is no soundness in none other but Jesus Christ. And Jesus teaches. And Lord, I tremble. I'm not saying just a mere rhetorical statement there. For I know the only way for you to teach us that you're enough is to let us go through the fire. But Lord, just remind us, you'll be with us in the fire. Hallelujah. That whatever you call us to go through, you'll walk there with us. And it's your presence that makes the difference. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, it's been so good to be in God's house with you this morning. And Lord willing, we're going to pick up our study this Wednesday night in chapter 11 of the book of Genesis. I was going to go ahead and teach chapter 10, but it's just, it's important things. There's some genealogy in there. But I felt impressed to the Holy Spirit to move on and go on into chapter 11 because there's such pertinent things the Word of God has to say to us about what's going on in the world right now from that chapter. So this Wednesday night, we'll be picking up in chapter 11. Again, I pray you've been blessed. I pray you've been strengthened. But more than anything else, I pray the Holy Spirit, and you've allowed Him to do this, has begun a preparation in your heart to live for God in this last day. Let's go to Him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the moving and operation of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the truth of your Word. We thank you for the mark of grace that is upon us. And we thank you that you have begun the process of teaching us and preparing us to live for Jesus in this last day. That no matter what happens to us in the physical realm, Jesus, you're enough. You're enough. Amen and amen. God bless you so much. Go in God's grace. Enjoy the rest of your day. You're dismissed.